time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
And a drive to right. Good! The season has begun.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
We are off and running, hour number two on a Tuesday. Thanks so much for tuning us in, as always, here on your Sioux Falls sports leader. You ever miss any of the show, any interviews you want to listen back to, easy to find podcast links, ESPNSiouxFalls.com, or on the handy dandy ESPN Sioux Falls free mobile app, a free download at Apple App Store or on Google Play. Headlines coming up here soon, scorecard and more. The latest from Wimbledon, Jerry P. and Thomas Lee, the Sioux Falls Sports Authority, swing by to talk about the upcoming Sioux Falls Marathon, Half Marathon, 5K. I'm signing up for something today, live on air. You guys can be my accountability buddies to get it done and get it done quickly here. Might mix in some fun Friday parlay action on my total time for whatever race I might sign up for today. We will wait and see. You'll have to wait till 12:25. Jerry P., Thomas Lee, Sioux Falls Sports Authority joining us then. Good, bad, the ugly, and more coming up with Thomas and Jerry. Tom and Jerry joining the show later on in hour number two. Scorecard now, though. Major League Baseball, just three games yesterday across the entire league. All three of them pretty darn good. It started out in Toronto, where Houston comes to town, and the Astros pick up the win.
1-0, and Alvarez hits it in the air pretty deep to left center. Going back on it, Farsho at the wall. He leaves. See you later! Yordan Alvarez goes deep, and the Astros go up 2-0.
That audio courtesy of KBME. The Astros win yesterday in Toronto 3-1. Mets over the Nationals from D.C. 9-7 with the win. Mets are right back to 500, 41-41. Milwaukee and the Colorado Rockies from Denver yesterday. Not a whole lot of winning this year so far out there in Denver for Colorado. Not a whole lot of winning streaks either, but they're on one. Extra innings winning streaks after this one.
Pitch to Cave. He'll hit it to right field, center field. That's going to be the game winner. Racing home from third, Aaron Schoch, and Jake Cave on the first pitch he sees rips it into right center field. And for the second consecutive game, the Rockies get a win in extra innings.
Colorado takes care of Milwaukee in 10 innings. That final score, 8-7. Rockies on top, 29-55. The new record for Colorado. That audio courtesy of KOA. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, return to a normal slate of action. White Sox at Guardians at 5:40 gets us started. Cardinals at Pirates. Tigers at Twins. That game starts at 6:40. 6 o'clock pregame coverage for Minnesota Twins baseball right here on ESPN Sioux Falls. Other matchups, Phillies at Cubs. For you Cubs fans, you can watch them tonight on TBS. 7:05 the start time. Rays at Royals. Brewers at Rockies. The other matchups of the day concerning area teams. NBA news to get to. Klay Thompson no longer a Golden State Warrior, and he is now a Dallas Maverick.
Klay Thompson is on his way to the Dallas Mavericks. I'm told a three-year, $50 million deal that'll include a player option. It's a sign and trade with the Warriors, with Charlotte. And Klay Thompson's 13-year career in Golden State, four championships, is now over.
Certainly a changing of the guard. Big-time player moving destinations late in his career. 13 years with the Golden State Warriors. That comes to an end as Klay Thompson chases the fifth title of his career with the Dallas Mavericks beyond this year and beyond. Moving forward now, one player that is not moving anywhere, Donovan Mitchell. Brian Windhorst says this about the big deal he signed to remain with the Cavs yesterday.
Is the second biggest contract signing in the history of the Cavs franchise after LeBron returning in 2014. That speaks to how important and how high stakes this was because of what they traded for him. The second thing is you can put whatever you want on the bottom screen. You can qualify it. This is a two-year contract. The Cavs now have 2 years to do it because he would face being going into last year of his deal in 2 years. So even getting 2 years is terrific for the Cavs, especially with where they're positioned. So the Cavs should absolutely celebrate this and absolutely keep their nose to the grindstone.
Certainly a big-time retention there for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Boston Celtics do that as well yesterday. Jason Tatum inking a big-time deal to remain with Boston. Here's the details of that contract.
Biggest contract in NBA history, Jason Tatum, 5 years, $314 million. Deal includes a player option, a trade kicker. Jason Tatum will be the first $70 million a year player in the NBA.
Certainly with the big payday comes big expectations. Just won an NBA Finals just last month. Chris Canty says Boston needs more, though, with these big contracts.
In order for the organization to get the return on investment on those contracts, those guys got to do some more winning. They've got to win another championship, at least one more, with the runway that has now been created with the contracts and having these players locked in. When you see these tandems, these wing tandems that are elite players in their own right, it usually equates to multiple championships. Think back to Dwayne Wade and LeBron James in the early 2010s, multiple championships. Think back to the 90s Bulls with Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, multiple championships. Mm-hmm. Why should we not look at Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown through that same lens?
And that's exactly where we're going right now, out of the NBA into the WNBA. Connecticut and Phoenix tussled last night from the desert. Connecticut moves to 15-4 with an 83-72 road win. Dallas lost on the road, getting blown out by Seattle 95-71. The Storm are now 13-6. News from the NFL. We talked a little about Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins wanting him back and back long term. Now to talk a little Dak Prescott, here's what Adam Schefter had to say about a historic amount of leverage that Dak could have at the end of this season.
Dak Prescott, more leverage than anybody in the National Football League today. And you can make the argument that he's got as much leverage as really any player ever has had, because we've never seen a quarterback this close to free agency at Dak's talent level. And all I have to do is trot out some of the potential quarterback landing spots to know that Dak Prescott is in a different price point than the price points getting done for quarterbacks this offseason. It's going to be, I think, $60+ million.
It's going to be a lot of money for Dak Prescott. And to be completely frank and honest here, I know that there's a lot of people that pick on Dak because he hasn't been clutch. He hasn't been to a big game in his career yet. No NFC championship game appearances and early bowouts throughout the NFC playoffs during his career. But relative to where he was drafted and where he is now, a top 10 quarterback, you can put him at number 10. I don't care where you have him. There are very few teams in the National Football League, probably less than 10, maybe less than 12, that wouldn't sign up immediately to have Dak Prescott be their starting guy. That's how good he is. He's not absolutely elite. He's not the Joe Burrow, the Justin Herbert, the Josh Allen, the Lamar Jackson, the Patrick Mahomes of the world. But he's right there with the likes of Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers and those guys right there in the mix of a top 10 quarterback right now. So Dak Prescott might not hit the open market, but he does hold a tremendous amount of leverage right now at the Cowboys right now. And even more so if he just is who he is for another year there in Dallas, puts together another 4,500-yard passing season, double-digit wins, couple hundred yards on the ground, 35 touchdown passes, two or three rushing touchdowns. That would be a win, and there's going to be a lot of teams lining up to sign Dak Prescott that aren't the Dallas Cowboys at the end of next, or at the end of next season. So Dak Prescott certainly up against it, a lot of leverage, according to Adam Schefter. Now moving forward, rounding out the scorecard, NASCAR race coming up Sunday at Chicago, 3:30 on NBC. PGA Tour back in action at TPC Deer Run in Silvis, Illinois, Thursday through Sunday. And some highlights from Wimbledon. The Americans doing well on the women's side so far. Coco Gauff won in straight sets yesterday, as did Jessica Pegula. And the big time upset on either side of the tournament thus far, women's side, defending Wimbledon champ Margaret Navratilova lost in straight sets yesterday. She was the sixth ranked player coming in. She loses in straight sets to Jessica Bouzas-Meniero, 6-4, 6-2. And on the men's side, American Brandon Nakashima pulled off one of the biggest upsets yesterday, unranked, took down 18th rated Sebastian Baez, straight set, 6-2, 6-3, 6-4 yesterday. Now into your ReliaBank headlines of the day here for hour number two. South Dakota alumni Tori DePerry has signed a professional contract to play in Portugal. beginning next season. DeBerry will be the first Coyote alumni to play in Portugal since Tempest Wilson did it back in 2014, and the 11th Coyote alumni to play overseas since 2008. Shawano, Wisconsin native, played 1 year down in Vermilion with the Yotes, averaged 7 points, 4 rebounds, and over an assist per game last season. And over her collegiate career, which started at Saginaw Valley State, totaled over 1,400 points and 750 rebounds in her career. Augustana has tabbed their 2024 Hall of Fame class from the athletic department. The banquet tickets will be available soon. Ceremony will take place on September 20th in Five Oaks in Sioux Falls. And the following day, that'll be September 21st, the Augie football team will take on Northern State, and the inductees will be honored at halftime. Among the inductees this year, Lori Fossum of volleyball, Katie Jesperson of women's tennis, Becky Mancuso of softball, and more. Meet all of those honorees and future inductees at GoAugie.com. USD Coyote football is expecting another big season, and they're expecting to bring back the Red Pass ticket plan for the upcoming year. The flexible option allows fans to choose a ticket for either the Dakota Days or the North Dakota State game, in addition to selecting two of the remaining four home games. The Red Pass starts at $75. More information on season tickets, pass tickets, and everything, USD Coyote football, GoYotes.com. The rules for the upcoming home run derby at the MLB All-Star Break are going to be altered significantly this year, with some of the changes designed to reduce the frantic pace that has concerned past participants. Within each player's timed round, the hitter will see a maximum of 40 pitches, similar to how there was a maximum number of basketball shot in the NBA three-point contest. In years past, the pitcher and the batter would just go out there and chuck and chuck and chuck and try to get as many swings of the bat as they could. They're changing it this year up to 40 pitches as a maximum. It'll flow a little bit better, be better for everyone, less frantic, more quality, more efficiency, and hopefully more long balls for people to dig there for the MLB Home Run Derby. Again, all the rules and the competition flow posted at ESPN.com. Check those out right now. Kim Ang, certainly a big name in the women's sports community, made her mark as a trailblazer in the male-dominated world of Major League Baseball recently. In 2020, she was hired as the first female general manager of the Miami Marlins, held that position until last year, and now, after she played softball at the University of Chicago growing up, she'll use her skills to directly uplift women's sports further. She's been hired as a senior advisor for the Athletes Unlimited Softball League, which will make its launch in 2025. With women's sports riding a wave of momentum, Ang felt this was the right time to jump in. "We're in a moment here," she said, "and maybe it's not a moment. Maybe it's more of a movement, and I just wanted to be a part of that." She's the oldest of five in her family who played softball. Three of her sisters played in college, and that makes the endeavor personal for Ang as that softball league looks to get off the ground again. It is called Athletes Unlimited Softball League, and get ready to go in 2025. Those are your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number two. We're going to take a quick break. Before long, we will say hello to our friends here in the studio. Jerry Pelleschi making his much anticipated return to the ESPN Sioux Falls airwaves. We also got executive director of the Sioux Falls Sports Authority, our friend Thomas Lee, joining us in studio as well. We're talking Sioux Falls Marathon, Sioux Falls Sports Authority, what is next beyond the marathon, the planning that goes into it, and I'm going to sign up for some sort of race today here with them. I just know it. No spoilers there. SiouxFallsMarathon.com. If you'd like to sign up, but hold your horses on that, because I'm going to try once again to get a promo code for my listeners out there that are interested in running here in Sioux Falls in August. SiouxFallsMarathon.com. We take the break, come back with the latest storylines from Wimbledon and moves across the NHL. We haven't talked about that too much. The Blackhawks loaded up yesterday. We'll talk about those moves and more coming up next on Overtime.
ESPN Sioux Falls gets you back to more of Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Tuesday edition of Overtime. Thanks so much for tuning us in, as always, right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader, ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. The latest from Wimbledon. We got good news and we got bad news. The good news was is that we might have been able to see Andy Murray, and the bad news is we will not see him in singles this week. He's withdrawn from his first round match at Wimbledon against Tomas Machak and confirmed that he has played his final singles match at the championships. The 37-year-old is still in the draw for doubles, where he will play alongside his brother Jamie. However, having had a procedure on a spinal cyst in late June, Murray has not recovered in time to play singles. He said he would make a decision on his fitness at the last minute, and with him set to start his Wimbledon campaign today against world number 38 Machak, he was withdrawn from the singles tournament. Murray has been replaced in the singles by lucky loser David Goffin of Belgium. In a statement, Murray's team said, unfortunately, despite working incredibly hard on this recovery since his operation just over a week ago, Andy has taken the very difficult decision not to play the singles this year. It might just be his very last appearance of any kind at Wimbledon. All the best moving forward to one-time champion Andy Murray. Margarita Vondrousova became the first defending women's champion at Wimbledon to lose in the first round the next year since 1994, eliminated 6-4, 6-2 by Jessica Bouzas-Monero at center court this morning. Vondrousova was a surprise title winner at the All England Club 12 months ago and the first unseeded woman to claim the trophy at the Grass Court Grand Slam tournament. Now she enters the books in another and less desirable historic way. The only other time in the sport's open era, which dates back to 1968, that a woman went from a championship at Wimbledon to an immediate exit a year later was when Steffi Graf was defeated by Lori McNeil 30 years ago. Very tough start to Wimbledon this season for Margarita Vondrousova. Now for news from the NHL. This is getting swept under the rug big time by, of course, the NFL. Anything that breaks out of the NFL, whether it's a random veteran signing, is going to be bigger than the biggest news in certain other sports leagues. And, of course, the NBA carrying the torch over the last 24, 48 hours as well. The Chicago Blackhawks, though, have reached a two-year contract agreement with veteran defenseman TJ Brody last night, capping off a busy day, to say the least, for the rebuilding Blackhawk club. The deal totals $7.5 million over 2 years and added to a host of free agent signees, including forwards Tyler Bertuzzi, Toivo Teravainen, and Pat Maroon. Also added a goaltender and defenseman Alec Martinez all yesterday for Chicago. Brody just wrapped up a four-year mega deal that paid him $5 million per season with the Maple Leafs. And at 33 years old, with his numbers declining, he figured to be in line for a pay cut this summer. That held true, and now Brody joins the Blackhawks. Two-year, $7.5 million deal. Played in 78 games last year, and the Blackhawks hoping this mixture of the young, worldly talent of Connor Bedard, the high draft pick that may or may not make it up this year for the Blackhawks at number two overall out of Michigan State, but then all of these veterans coming in via free agency and elsewhere, hoping it all jams together to a winning, maybe a appearance in the postseason for Chicago coming up in due time. The Dallas Stars yesterday signed veteran forward Matt Duchene on a one-year, $3 million contract, bringing back the player who put the club in last season's Western Conference Finals. Duchene, who scored the game-winning goal in a double overtime in May 18th, eliminating the Avalanche in round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs, found a new home in Dallas, a veteran club that has his sights set on a title next year. So Matt Duchene there, Dallas Stars, one-year, $3 million deal. And lastly, here from the NHL, after being bought out by the Buffalo Sabres, a team that has missed the playoffs for 13 straight years, Jeff Skinner has a new one-year deal with the Edmonton Oilers, a team that was just one win away from hoisting Lord Stanley's Cup. Skinner joins the Oilers after the Sabres bought out the final 3 years of an eight-year contract that saw him earn over $9 million annually. And now with the Oilers, Skinner will make $3 million per year for his service. That is the latest from the National Hockey League. Again, a lot of these transactions you might miss. Blink and you'll miss it, in the words of one Ferris Bueller. That's how we are with the NHL these days. The NBA carrying the torch. NFL popping their head in here as well. Definitely some quarterback contracts in due time to recap here. We're going to take the break. When we come back, Jerry P. back in the studio. Thomas Lee back in the studio. Sioux Falls Sports Authority, Sioux Falls Marathon Talk coming up next on this Tuesday edition of Overtime right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.
bonus.
Get ESPN. Grab your phone or call us up on your smart device. Now let's get you back to overtime with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Back with you on this Tuesday edition of Overtime. We are into the month of July, and the month of August is going to be highlighted in our area by the Sioux Falls Marathon, SiouxFallsMarathon.com, and it's just about time for me to sign up for some sort of a race coming up in this marathon time. Sioux Falls Marathon official date is August the 25th, and I think that's a Sunday this year for the Sioux Falls Marathon. Is that every year, Jerry, you're going to go to here? Is it every year on a Sunday?
Hey, Bert.
Hey, man.
How you doing?
I'm great. How
yes.
are you?
Yes, we run Sundays.
Okay,
we
good.
Run
so
Sundays every year.
Sunday, August 25th. First things first, man, how are you doing? I know that it's going to be Pelleschi Party of Four coming up soon. Pretty exciting stuff. How you doing these days?
Yeah, Pelleschi Party of Four coming at you within about a month. Which, perfect timing, right, Thomas? Like, perfect timing. Start of August, marathon at the end of August, all the craziness goes. It's perfect. Yeah, we're excited. We're excited. I'm excited to see you. It's been a long time.
It has been a while. Thomas, welcome back, my friend. I know you guys always stay busy. How has everything been for you guys?
Great, and we are not expecting. So that's good. News
that
for
is
us.
Good. That is good.
I thought you had news today.
No, no news. Bert might have some news
nope,
for us.
No news.
But nope. No, no news. Just in the summer, you know, here we are planning for the marathon. It seems like we were just in the studio a year ago, or, you know, it seems like yesterday, but it was a year ago we were here. Doing the same thing, talking about the marathon, and here we are, amazingly, somehow, it's July.
It is.
So here we are.
And the rainiest June of all time. Did both of you guys do okay on the home front? Some pumps working, firing, everybody okay?
We're good.
Good.
This guy was out in California. He missed it all.
Oh, the Cali kid.
But we did come home to some wet playroom carpet. So
we
pulled that up, but gosh, that's light compared to what so many others dealt with.
Absolutely true. Sioux Falls Marathon coming up again Sunday, August the 25th. Thomas Lee, Executive Director of the Sioux Falls Sports Authority, our buddy Jerry P back here as well. Jerry, we're going to talk some Vikings and other stuff coming up soon with you, but I wanted to talk about the marathon organization of the event, the schedule, the route. Has much changed this year compared to last or 2022?
Well, I know from 2023 to this year, we can say that the route has slightly changed a little bit, and that's because of the 6th Street Bridge and the bike path underneath it being open. So we're actually going back to what was our 2022 route for the most part,
cool.
Where when you come out of Falls Park, if you're running, you know, the full and a half, you're actually going to take the Falls Park Bridge and then jump on the bike trail from there and kind of continue to circle around. If you're in half marathon, you're going to split at Cherry Rock Park. Full just kind of keeps on going. So that's kind of the big change for this year, at least for the full and the half, is that instead of cutting back on Phillips Avenue by the Levitt, what we did last year because of the detour with the 6th Street Bridge, we're able to go back to what we did in 2022. So that's kind of the big change for the route-wise. 5K route's going to be the same as what we have done in the past up by Howard Wood Field and kind of staying within that general area. So really, route-wise, we're shored up, which is going to be awesome. And as long as everything holds steady and everything's looking really good, we should be good in that realm. So planning purposes that way, we're good to go. We're excited for it. I know a couple of years ago in 2022, we had a lot of people that loved the way that the route was set up. So we're excited to go back to that.
And feedback is always so valuable with events of any kind, whether it be the Team USA curling team trials coming up next November or something like this that's a recurring event for you guys that you've been able to hit out of the park for so long. What kind of feedback over the last 5, 6, 7 years have you guys gotten on this, Thomas?
Yeah, it's a positive race, mostly flat. We do get a little complaints out of Tilly, but it's nothing like, you know, where we're from back east,
in
Charlotte.
Charlotte,
Nashville.
That's a tough marathon, half marathon.
It is, and it's hilly. We're not that hilly. We do have I guess it is a tough hill, probably around mile 2 to start the race, and then on the half, probably around mile 9 or 10. To almost finish the race, but the half marathon or the full marathon is really flat after mile 2 and flat downhill, uphill. It's all hard for me, but you know, the runners do seem to enjoy not just race day, but everything that goes into the day prior at the expo. They enjoy the swag that they get, the shirts, the post-race medals, the food and chocolate milk and ice cream we provide after the race. So we really try to make it a fun weekend for not just the locals that are traveling here, but the travelers coming in. We really want to make it memorable for those you know, coming in from Hawaii and Florida and internationally, we want this to be very memorable for them.
Paint the picture for the runners out there that are food motivated, because I know a lot of people are out there like, I can't wait to get my hands on a Krispy Kreme donut. I can't wait for some ice cream. Give me something that's going to be at the finish line for the runners.
So something that's unique is chocolate milk.
Wow.
Okay. I love chocolate milk. I really do. I'm like an 8-year-old boy when it comes to chocolate milk. But you know, there's of course water and Gator or Powerade. But when you're finished, there's chocolate milk for you as well, which, you know, we weren't sure if it would be that big of a hit. It's a huge hit. Chocolate milk, just getting some sugar back in you. The runners really seem to appreciate. Snacks galore, beef jerky, South Dakota beef helps us with a few of those items, Hy-Vee as well. So truly just bananas, Bert, bananas galore. So.
All that work for a banana.
Hey, don't diss on bananas. Again, the Sioux Falls Marathon, SiouxFallsMarathon.com. Sunday, August the 25th, you can register, SiouxFallsMarathon.com. Volunteering, Jerry, what's the status with volunteers? Do you guys still need more help this year?
Well, we'll always take extra help. So if anybody really wants to, you can email me, jerryp@siouxfalls.com. We can find some place somewhere for you. This is an event that takes roughly 400 to 450 volunteers or so, just when you coordinate everything from start to finish. So in those terms, we'll never turn down help in that case. But I do want to say thank you to USF. USF and their squads provide so many teams, whether it's their wrestling programs, track and field, baseball. USF is heavily involved with us in being able to put this marathon on. Augustana men's basketball, they help us out as well, along with Augie swimming. So shout out to them. Those groups are essential for us because they bring 20-something volunteers each time, and they actually help guide the runners on the course. Because Thomas and I, as much as what we would want to and try to, we can't cover 26 miles just alone.
Yep.
So we really, because of those programs and our local colleges and some of the high school programs like Jefferson Track and Field, who has helped us out for many years, Lincoln High School football, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to do this.
And certainly a lot of great volunteers. I know you guys always have a great group of volunteers out at the Summit League tournament every year as well. Lastly, Thomas, on the marathon, when it comes to just organizationally and getting this all together, I'm sure there's a lot of people in the works here, volunteers or otherwise, people there at the Sports Authority. So this is one of those marquee events year-round for you guys. So just kind of talk to us about the marathon, the impact, and everybody that goes into making this thing possible.
Sure. So we'll have about 2,000, maybe 2,500 runners taking part in the full marathon, half marathon, and or 5K. And we couldn't do it, right? Jerry and I do a lot of it. We could not do it without the partnership and coordination with the city, the Parks and Rec, the police officers, the fire department, so on and so on and so on. The volunteers, of course, as Jerry's already mentioned. So it really does take a village to put this on. And while we're running around with, you know, pulling our hair out on race day, several of those other entities are as well helping us out. So it's incredible to have that partnership and to know that they're on board helping us put on this successful event.
Thomas, last time we talked on the phone, I told you that I would make a decision on a race before the race was over.
Uh-oh.
And it was the designation that you made. You said, you know, the race is in late August. You can't tell me in September that you're going to run, Bert. So I'm going to run this year, and I'm going to run the 5K. I'm going to knock that out.
I was really hoping for the full.
It is a checkbox for me, the 5K. And then next year, I do mean this, next year, I'm going to go after the half.
Okay.
Because I need some time to get back on my feet. I've been running. I'm down some pounds here. I need to get back on my feet. So I'm going to do the 5K, but I also, it's a give and take here. I want a promo code for you guys to hook up the listeners and all their family and friends out there. Can we do something for our listeners for the Sioux Falls Marathon this year?
I suppose we could do that.
Okay.
If you're going to do the 5K, we 5K. Can do that.
Okay.
So we'll make it really easy. For any listener out there, if you want to register 5K, half marathon, full marathon, you want to do a full and a 5K, whatever the case, half and 5K,
yep.
Those are our five races. BERT 24, all caps.
All right, all caps, BERT 24. You heard it here first. That is the promo code for, what are we doing percentage-wise off?
Because it's a 10%.
10% off. How about that? So 10% off the promo code for the Sioux Falls Marathon, SiouxFallsMarathon.com. Do not miss that. I'm going to sign up for the 5K today, next year. You guys can hold me to this. Next year, I'm going to work my way up to the half, and then maybe, I've never run a full marathon, maybe in 2030, something like that, 2027, I could maybe do the full. Have you done a full?
No. Okay. I have done a couple halves. I'm not a runner, but I did enjoy those halves. Training is the hardest part. So that leads me to this question. Are you training for this 5K?
Sure.
Or are you just showing up morning
of? I've been running quite a bit lately, and I feel good. And my feet feel good because, to be honest with you, everybody loves to talk about, oh, I would be a good runner if not for this or this or this. I was bartending full time and I used to run religiously in Charlotte, our old stomping grounds. And I got plantar fasciitis so bad that I just ended up having to like stop running for a long time. So I'm back and my feet feel good. Knock on wood. So I'm hoping for this 5K to be promising. Now, I wanted to get you guys an opportunity to razz me a little bit on this over under time for Bert for the 5K. An 8-minute mile pace is 24 minutes and 48 seconds. What do you think?
So Deontay, who you had in here earlier,
and there's
today,
also, you can also put a DNF in there if you want to.
Deontay won last year, and I think it was about 16 minutes.
Oh, okay. So, I'll be right behind him.
So that's just over 5 minutes a mile. I think 28 minutes.
Okay.
That's what I'm giving your over-under.
I'd maybe go under for him, but here's the thing. Here's the thing, and I want to point this one out. Okay.
Yep.
Because here's what Bert can do on the 5K. Bert can hit a point during his training where he says, this just isn't going to happen. I'm not going to be able to compete. And that's okay, because our 5K, you don't need to compete.
Yeah, it's fun.
He could bring his entire family out. We are a family-friendly event, especially on the 5K. Now, a lot of people, they go a little crazy on the half marathon and the full marathon. It gets rather competitive, especially on the full marathon side. You have people coming from all over the country and the world. But the 5K is designed to be a family-friendly function.
Yeah.
So because of that, Bert,
I'm going to let Deontay win for that reason.
I would take the under normally, but I just feel like you're going to turn to me in about a couple weeks here and say, hey, you know what? I think the family would just really enjoy this one. We're going to walk it together and we'll be all good.
I will tell you this. I looked at it today and I'm thinking about it and being honest with myself. My personal goal would be sub 27 is where I'm going to be. If I'm under 27, I'll be happy. If I'm under 26, I'll be elated. And if somehow I'm in Deontay's hour of being finished, I'll be thrilled as well.
I like to say, Thomas, that I actually won the 5K last year.
Oh, that's right. You cycled it.
I actually won because I crossed the finish line first.
Okay. Well, you did.
He was the lead bicyclist.
Do you have any interest, by the way, before we put this to bed? I'm going to run the 5K this year in case you missed it. The Sioux Falls Marathon, SiouxFallsMarathon.com. You can sign up right now, 10% off, promo code BERT24, all caps. Do either of you guys ever have any interest in being that super dad? Because I do. Being the super dad running a 5K with the stroller and like three or four kids on it.
I'm telling you, he's already planting the seed.
I'm not going to do that this year. I promise. I promise I won't. But sometime it would be fun to do that with the kids.
I am out of the stroller business.
Really?
Yeah, I've got a four-year-old, and I guess if we went on a really long hike with him, we'd bring it. But I am retired from the stroller business.
Well, my son's five, and we're still in the stroller business, especially after being out and about at the park. What about you? Any interest in that?
No, I prefer to run the show and the marathons. It's my favorite dad joke every year, too. We're the only two people in this town that can say that we run all races, three of them.
You do.
And we do it all in one day.
That's exciting stuff.
We run the full marathon, the half marathon, and the 5K. We do it all in one day.
All right. Dad joke's over.
That's my favorite joke.
Oh, it's the best joke. SiouxFallsMarathon.com. Thomas Lee, Jerry P., Sioux Falls Sports Authority, in with us for a whole nother segment. We're going to take a quick break, come back with some good, the bad, the ugly storylines. And also, we're going to dive into some Minnesota Vikings chatter, talk about one J.J. McCarthy, Cam Akers. Back with the Vikings as of today. We'll talk about that and a little bit more with Jerry P. and Thomas Lee coming up next on Overtime. We take the break. Back with more on ESPN Sioux Falls.
Time is in the middle of your workday. Unwrap your sandwich and get caught up with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Moving right along, final segment of the day on your Tuesday, July 2nd edition of Overtime, joined in studio by Jerry P. Yes, that Jerry P., the real Jerry P. Thomas Lee also in with us, Executive Director of the Sioux Falls Sports Authority. Gentlemen, I've committed to the 5K race, SiouxFallsMarathon.com. Promo code for all of you listeners that may have missed it, BERT24, all caps, scores you 10% off your race registration, SiouxFallsMarathon.com. Is there a closing day on registration?
We'll take registration. Well, okay, so twofold. If the race technically sells out, which right now we don't really have a cap because that ultimately depends on shirts, medals, so on and so forth, that's coming soon, though, once we set those numbers. So either when that sells out or up until the Saturday being our expo, our Sioux Falls Marathon Expo, people can come in, and that's completely free to attend. That's at the Sanford Pentagon between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m.
Okay.
On Saturday before the 24th. You can register on site there.
Okay, so a lot of info there, SiouxFallsMarathon.com. Again, that is Sunday, August the 25th. Experience South Dakota's premier marathon with the Sioux Falls Sports Authority. Lastly, just a broad update from you, Thomas, on what's ahead, because we got the big news recently about U.S. Olympic team trials coming here to the Denny Sanford Premier Center. What else is kind of in the works for you guys? Because I know that you've got ideas floating around all the time, but as far as concrete events on the docket coming up soon, what's next for you?
Yeah, so later this month, the NCAA is going to be making a visit to Sioux Falls to preview and scout out what this December's volleyball championships will look like. So at the Pentagon in December, we're hosting the D2 volleyball championship. So they're going to come here and take a little scouting trip and visit the venue and visit a couple hotels later this month. But that event, again, is in December. Immediately after, in January, we'll be hosting our third Sioux Falls Boxing Classic. That's that quasi-black tie blood sport affair that we put on at the district. Looking forward to that on January, Jerry, date?
30th.
Thank you. So the end of January. We've had that previously in December, but we don't want to keep competing with Christmas. So January it is, and then before long, it's back into helping the Summit League put on their tournament. Volunteers and hospitality sponsors, and we just kind of keep cycling. And as you mentioned, next year, curling. We're hosting an Olympic trials, so that's going to be really fun here in the next few months to start that process with them working up to that November 25.
Before we dive into some good, bad, the ugly stuff, on the Boxing Classic, I know every year that's, I don't want to call it closed door, but it's an event where folks buy tables. It's not a thing that you can buy tickets for at the gate. Jerry, how do folks get involved with that? So when we're having this discussion about previewing the Boxing Classic come January, come December, and folks aren't frustrated that they can't get in, how can they get into the event this year?
It's easy. You just give us an email. It's either jerryp@siouxfalls.com or tlee@siouxfalls.com. Just put Boxing Classic in the subject title and just ask about it. Like, that's it. We like to say it's kind of like a private event,
sure,
but it is a public-private event.
Yeah.
It's anybody really has access to it. You just have to buy a table, and that's kind of the way that we approach it, and it makes for just a fun night. It is one of the best nights of the entire year, and I'm not just saying that because it's like one of our events or anything, but truly, it is an experience unlike anything else that you can get in this town, and even if I didn't work for the Sioux Falls Sports Authority, I find a way to get there because it is just so much fun every single year, and I'd highly recommend it to anybody. It's one of those events, Bert, where I think even if you're not a boxing fan, you would leave there that night as a boxing fan.
Oh, yeah.
It puts something out there for you. It's something that you're not going to see anywhere else in Sioux Falls.
And I'll co-sign on that because last year, first one I missed, last year I made it to, and I left that place talking, man, that was awesome, so intimate and fun. We had, of course, Deontay Walker, the local element there, other local guys out there in the fights. I know there was a female fight in the first year of everything. So that's a very exciting January 30th. And for more info, just stay tuned, SiouxFallsSportsAuthority.com, or where's the best place to kind of find further details?
Just give us an email or just go right on our website.
All right. So
we
now
have everything there.
Now, Jerry, on to good, bad, the ugly topics here. Just wanted to share these with listeners. I don't ever want to miss this, but again, Utah Hockey Club, that's the creative name for the new Utah team of the NHL. They'll play their first regular season game October 8th against Connor Bedard and the Blackhawks. That'll mark the debut of the NHL in Salt Lake City. That's good news. Bad news here. I feel like this NIL stuff is out of control officially now, but you kind of heard the news about NC State back in 83. They won the title, and all those guys are back suing, trying to get some money for their name, image, and likeness. And now 16 former men's college basketball players, including Kansas stars Mario Chalmers and Sharon Collins and others, are suing the NCAA and multiple conferences for unauthorized use of their NIL in March Madness highlights. So I think we've reached that point where we can say this is out of control, don't you?
I don't know where you draw the line on any of this stuff at this point.
It's tough.
I mean, Thomas is going to go back for his West Virginia days, and he's going to ask for all the promos of when
he was a
full-out golfer, and they used him on all the promo cards out there. That he's going to ask. I know he wants that couple mil.
Yeah, he's owed it.
I'll take it.
Okay. Lastly here, ugly, and then we'll dive into some Vikings talk. Oklahoma State faces South Dakota State in the opener this year. Big game down in Stillwater for SDSU. And again, we know who they are here, but nationally it could provide them some clout if it's a close game or they happen to pop the upset. And now one of the best players on that Oklahoma State Cowboys team might miss the game. Ollie Gordon II arrested Sunday morning on suspicion of DUI. Oklahoma Highway Patrol confirmed to ESPN. He's the reigning Doak Walker Award winner. Not going to really ask you any more on that. But when it comes to the opportunity ahead of South Dakota State, I know you're a USD guy, but that's a huge game and a big opportunity down in Stillwater.
Anytime you have those chances in those FCS, FBS matchups, and you are one of the top teams, the top team in FCS football, you know you can compete, and you have that opportunity. These games are scheduled, 7 years in advance sometimes?
Yep.
These schools half the time don't know what they're actually signing up for. And I think they're looking at their schedule right now and seeing South Dakota State on it, and I think they're sweating a little bit. So anytime you have that opportunity and you are the top dog in your division and being FCS, you have a chance to go upset. Everybody's on high alert.
USD has that opportunity against my Wisconsin Badgers.
Absolutely, they do. I
can't
wait.
Are you going to sneak me in your luggage? Are you guys flying or driving to that? Because I'm coming.
As far as I know, we're flying.
Okay.
As far as I know,
if you got
last
extra,
I heard,
if you
anyway.
Got an extra spot next to the golf clubs and in the inside of the plane, I will go with you.
I'll see what we can do on that. Okay. I'm still waiting for the Coyotes to get that date with West Virginia.
Yeah.
On the schedule sometime down the line here.
Yeah. You mean West Virginia to get the date with the Yotes?
Right. I'm positioning for it. It's falling on deaf ears right now, but. Then I have to find a way to get Thomas on the plane, too.
Okay, Thomas, we're going to talk some West Virginia football, and then we're doing a little Vikings chatter here. West Virginia state of things could be a little up in the air, but when I'm giving you these home games, if you were to go back to one of these games this year, is it going to be Penn State? Albany comes to town. That's a respectable FCS program. You got Kansas, Iowa State, Kansas State, Baylor, and UCF. Pick your poison there. I guess it would be Penn State. That has to be the right answer, right?
It would be Penn State.
Okay.
Yeah, that takes us both back, West Virginia and Penn State, to the Big East days back in the 80s, 90s. And that was just such fun football. I love football today, too. But the Big East and that rivalry back then was something. I don't know if it's a rivalry. We didn't beat them very often, but it felt like a rivalry. We're a couple hours away from each other. So Penn State, Pitt, Virginia Tech, West Virginia, that was a fun foursome to have.
And again, West Virginia will open the season. That's a Saturday, August 31st game against Penn State, Albany, and then at Pittsburgh for their first road game. Jerry, anytime you're in here, I got to get your take on the Minnesota Vikings, J.J. McCarthy, Sam Darnold. I know you've told me before, but I want the listeners to know as well. I think you're a preaching patience kind of guy lately. Hey, start whoever. It's all about 2025, not this year. Where are you at for win total? Where are you at for what you'd like to see this year out of Minnesota?
I think if you're somewhere in that range of just showing a little bit of progress and a little bit of momentum towards the future and maybe just being on the edge of a playoff berth, if you make the playoffs, it's wonderful and great. I think that would constitute as what you would deem as successful for this team this year. You're going to play in a tough division. You're taking your medicine. You have so much dead money that's on the cap. You're getting rid of some of those old veteran contracts. You're finally moving forward, something that I thought they've had to do for the last 6 years or so, but they're now finally doing that. And this year might be a little bit bumpy. And I think on the J.J. McCarthy front, Bert, almost in a way, I don't even know if I want to see him this year.
Yep.
Like, let Sam Darnold play. Now, there are some interesting scenarios. I'll throw this one out there. Maybe Sam Darnold comes out. He plays pretty good. They get towards the trade deadline, but the Vikings maybe only have 3 wins under their belt.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's an opportunity to trade him at that point, and then you kind of start the J.J. McCarthy era. You kind of recoup what you can off of Sam Darnold. Will that happen? That's probably quite a bit optimistic in the sense of trading him for a third-round pick or anything like that. So I think you just go with it and just kind of try to stash McCarthy back, let him learn, And once Kevin O'Connell deems him to be ready, I'm going to trust that, because he just seems like the type of coach that has everything under wraps in terms of knowing when the time is right. He doesn't want to make the same type of mistake that he felt in his NFL career. So I think you could trust that, but I think you just want to wait. And you don't want to start him right away at the beginning of the season, not the gauntlet that they start with. I know the Giants are not that great of a team, but you have San Francisco right away at the start of the season as well. Just wait.
Yeah, it's going to take, that bye is early to where you could do that quarterback change. Lastly, fellas, before I let you go, again, Sioux Falls Sports Authority, Thomas Lee, Jerry P. in with us, SiouxFallsMarathon.com. I got the list of NFL teams up there. Thomas, I'll let you take the long look. Jerry, you get the short look here. Not Kansas City, not San Francisco. Who's it going to be that wins the Super Bowl this year? Pick one team, and then Thomas and I will take our pick.
Not one of those two, though.
Yeah, not one of those two. No Kansas City, no San Francisco. Give me one other team. We're having a draft here. Hurry up. The
Baltimore Ravens.
Okay, who you got?
I'm going to root for the Detroit Lions.
All right,
this
year. I'm going Cincinnati Bengals. There it is. Lions, Ravens, Bengals. Oh, my. Heck of a way to end the show. Thanks so much, fellas. We'll do it again soon.
See you later.
Thank you, Bert.
That's Jerry P., Thomas Lee, Sioux Falls Sports Authority, here to end the show today. We're back tomorrow, 11 to 1, right here on Overtime. We'll talk to you then. Have a great rest of the day, Sioux Falls. You're listening, as always, right here on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.